This is a production of the White Dragon Podcast Network, WDPN, bringing you the very best in internet talk radio.
Atomic batteries to power, turbines to speed. It's Bat Squad Radio, episode 14, here on the White Dragon Podcast Network. Folks, my name is Kev Allen, the host of this show, and I'm joined, as always, by my two all-star compatriots here in the New Jersey Bat Squad. First is the new king of cosplay, New Jersey Spider Danny.
That is I.
New Italian New Jersey Spider
Danny. One-hit wonder, I think.
All right. And also... Folks coming to us from the land of Green Envy Town, USA, apparently. Sick Fury himself. The sickliest, scrawniest Nick Fury you ever did see. New Jersey Bat Dave.
I actually preferred you calling me Dick Fury last week.
I know.
Thanks, Kev.
You enjoyed that one. That's why.
Buster is mad at you.
Is he? Well, as always, you can hear him right there, folks. Buster the Bat Dog, the star of the show, always here with us. All right. So without any further ado, let's get moving on this week of pop culture news.
Sounds good to me.
Yeah. So this week is there were a lot of trailers that dropped in the last 2 weeks. Like, a lot of movie trailers dropped.
Yeah.
So we're going to be trailer trash this week and just be discussing these trailers.
Oh, just this week we're trailer trash?
Yeah.
All right. Sounds good.
Speak for yourselves.
Yeah, but Kevin's classy.
I do have to make a formal apology to Denny before we begin here this week.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah. I own one share of stock in the WWE, and for that... For the purpose of once a year, I get an invite to the WWE annual shareholders meeting, and it's in Stamford, Connecticut. Used to be at the TV studio, and then it was at Titan Tower, which is like their big corporate headquarters. But now it's like at a hotel, and it's still very nice. You get like a whole goodie bag of like WWE DVDs and toys and like
all
sorts
of stuff.
You're just
pissing me off more. Get on.
I know.
So how'd your date go?
This year usually you can invite somebody along with you. This year I was like, you know what, I'm going to bring my good friend Denny.
What's funny, I like how you said you get invited once a year, and I get invited once in my whole entire life, and then you F it up.
Yeah. I thought it was Friday. It was Thursday. And then on Thursday, I'm sitting at my desk at work, and my friend who was there, I suddenly get a call from him. And I'm like, uh-oh. That's what I realized. Like, wait, the invitation's to the 23rd. Today's the 23rd.
Tomorrow's I was so 23rd. Pissed because I actually changed my whole days out of work and everything.
I'm sorry. So I answer the phone, and I just say, it was today, wasn't it? He goes, yep. But the one good thing, it was only Vince McMahon at the thing. Triple H and Stephanie weren't there.
Which I'm fine with. I just wanted to see Vince because I like him. He's so like stupid and
all right,
funny.
Well, a year from now, you have the invitation to come with me again.
If I'm still alive.
Yeah, if you're still alive.
I mean, and my fame, you know, if I'm top notch in Hollywood, then, you know, go F yourself.
Right. And more importantly, if you guys are still talking. Because
you never know.
Well, yeah. I don't really care about that. But.
you never do know.
We should warn or at least tell our four listeners that if they hear any background noise at all.
Oh, we're in the outdoor studio again.
We are in the Bat Squad, Bat Dave Botanical Gardens once again. It's almost May. It's the coldest spring we've ever had, the wettest spring. But we're outside. It's a lovely day. And let's
not
proceed.
Not a cloud in the sky. It's a beautiful spring day.
This time I was prepared. I've got my hoodie, my long johns on, my gloves, my scarf.
Actually, yeah, Kevin, you were wrong. There's only one dark cloud, and it's sitting to the right of me.
Exactly, yes. The dark cloud that is Denny. Okay, so you ready to dive into these trailers for this week?
Am I?
Okay. So, like we said, big week, you know, in superhero movie news, because these trailers were... all seemingly one on top of another, and I actually have a theory about this. I think everyone's racing to get their trailer out because they want it in front of Age of Ultron.
Sure.
Yeah. Makes sense, right?
Yeah.
I mean, they're projecting this might be one of the highest grossing films of all time. Projected $200 million opening weekend, which is a record shatterer, and everybody wants their trailer out in front of it.
They want to ride the wave.
I'm sure Ant-Man is going to be attached. Because it's also Marvel Studios. Like,
I don't think it's going to beat out Fast and Furious 7, though.
I think it will.
I don't know.
Didn't we discuss that already?
I think it will. Let's go to the first trailer, and probably the most important to my life. That is the Batman versus Superman trailer.
Are you okay?
You
all right?
That was a sporadic hiccup. Yeah. The Batman versus Superman trailer. Mixed reaction from a lot of people.
I think it looks like crap.
No, you don't.
Yes, I do.
No, you don't. You do not think
I know you're going to pull out your phone and show everyone the screenshot. Denny,
this is radio. You can't show anyone's
I'll post it onto our page.
I already did.
We have a page?
Okay. Yes, our Facebook discussion group, facebook.com/group/BatSquadRadio. But yeah, Denny texts me. As Denny is posting on Facebook about how awful the trailer looks, he texts me and goes, dude, I got to admit that Batman vs. Superman trailer looks pretty cool.
All right, it did. It did look pretty badass, I have to say. It looks cool.
Now, I like the concept of how realistic they're taking Superman, because like in the Christopher Reeves movie, it's like he shows up and everyone's like, our savior! Yeah. Hooray!
Right.
And he like winks and like not and smiles a little ting on his teeth. In real life, if somebody with these powers showed up, the United States government and the people and the media would go ballistic about it.
It would be, because he's handsome, they'd probably give him a little bit of leeway. What's that movie that was filmed 5 years ago where the alien is quarantined?
District 9.
District 9.
Right. That's what they would do to Superman at the very least.
Yeah. And Russia and Iran would launch all their nukes. Like, you know, it would be a whole thing.
Or they would wage a diplomatic... they would try to woo him over as if he's like the A-Rod of 10 years ago.
Yes, exactly.
One of the biggest problems, though, I'm going to save everyone the $15 and the 2.5 hours of their entire life.
Do you really have to?
I have to. The whole entire time, they're just going to be fighting each other. You know that Superman's going to probably win. And then what's going to happen? I think so. He's a freaking god at this point.
If you think anyone's going to win this fight, you got another thing coming.
Quote unquote win. And the reason why is because you know they're going to have to make up at the end because they're doing Justice League.
Oh, you mean neither one's gonna die?
So why even bother? No, why even bother having a movie?
No, because
it looks cool though.
Iron Man and Thor fought, and Hulk and Thor fought. Iron Man and Hulk are going to fight again.
Dumbest character you've ever.
Well, Iron Man and Hulk are going to fight in Age of Ultron. Sometimes superheroes throw down with each other.
Well, here's the thing. Yes, that's been happening since the dawn of comic books.
Yeah.
You know, look at Jack Kirby. He always had his heroes fighting.
Yep, Thor
Everyone
and Hercules.
Loved that. And there was always a misunderstanding, just like this movie. And I have to say, as the Batman guy, it makes my heart warm that Denny, the Spider guy, is actually loving this new upcoming Batman Superman movie.
And as a super guy, it makes my heart warm
I
as well.
Say.
Well, just to go back, though, you're saying about the whole them fighting like in Avengers and all that stuff.
Yeah.
This whole movie is just going to be about them fighting.
No,
I
it's
guarantee
not.
It.
I guarantee you it's not. The whole movie is going to be about Lex Luthor going after him.
Who are not too
Eisenberg?
Happily about the casting of Lex Luthor.
He looks really good. Mm. Did you see
the
picture?
He's going to be doing his little Eisenberg type stuff. You know what I mean? He's like
his
Lex
picture,
Luthor.
Yeah, he looks like Eisenberg.
He, I don't know, I thought he looked perfect.
Here's what I'm going to say, and this is going to take us... Lisa always cracks up when she hears us talk like this.
Who's Lisa?
Right.
My companion. anyhow... Here's the thing. They talk about some Big Bang, which you guys don't watch. But here's the problem.
I watch Big Bang.
Oh, he doesn't. Ben Affleck. Ben Affleck is going to be fine. He'll do fine. The armored suit looks fine. Cavill's going to be great. Everyone's going to be great. Even does Wonder Woman appear in this briefly?
Yes.
All right. The problem is you're mixing apples and oranges. You're going to have Batman fighting Superman, who is one of the universe's most incredibly powerful beings. By the time Batman is lacing up his shoes, Superman could have beat the crap out of him a million times.
Yeah, but
over.
We know that doesn't happen because we saw Batman in the Iron Man bat suit.
But you know what I'm saying is it's just they don't mesh well together.
Actually, they do mesh well together. They've been meshing well together for years and years and decades. They are the DC team up.
Yeah, but World's Finest. World's Finest comic ran for over 45 years, almost 300 issues. Can anyone remember a memorable World's Finest issue?
I love whenever Batman and Superman team up because they are so different. It works well, the dichotomy of them. Now, this is also going to be... This is a Superman who just had his first foray into the world, and it went disastrously.
He destroyed everything.
No, he did not destroy everything, Dave.
He was clumsy.
No. Like, one building came down in his time of the fight. The majority of the damage was done by the World Engine, which he stopped. The World Engine,
Batman and Superman together, kind of iffy.
Oh no!
Let me finish my thought.
The World Engine is what clears out that whole circle of spot. More people died in the ending of the Avengers than died during Man of Steel. I guarantee it.
Well, I'm not a big fan of the ending of the Avengers, the final.
But so anyway, you have Superman who's still very green, and you have a Batman who is about 10 years into his reign at this point in time. He's a veteran Batman, but nobody's ever seen him before. He's still very much an urban legend. The only person who's apparently ever seen him is the Joker. So we have an experienced Batman, and Ben Affleck had that quiet intensity of Bruce Wayne when we saw him for that brief
second. I kind of like that.
And Jeremy Irons' voice as Alfred, I mean, how perfect did he sound?
Not as good as mine. That's all right.
This is Alfred.
I think as a voice, he's on par with James Spader being the new Ultron. I kind of like that. Very nice.
The one thing I hope that they do is, I was telling Kevin about this, that they took the original Man of Steel and they took the color and actually enhanced
it. They
brightened it up, and it looks freaking awesome. It doesn't have
like that.
It looks
like a comic book.
Well, yeah, exactly. I hope that they do this with the new one.
When we had Gene on the show, he was talking about the desaturation, how they sucked the color out of the film.
They want to keep it dark, but you don't need that with Superman.
I mean, I always go back to Patton Oswalt when he was just like, why is everyone being broody? Only Batman gets to be broody! Like, he's right. Only Batman gets to be broody. Like, Superman shouldn't be broody. I'm with him on that. There should be some joy in the film, which is something Man of Steel, like, with the exception of the scene where he flies for the first time, there's really no joy in the film. I hope there's a little bit more of that in this. A little lighter tone, something more akin to Marvel, where there's some humor, but it's not, like, over-the-top humor.
I would like them to, like, to flip back and forth. Like, when they show Batman, keep it dark, keep it kind of mysterious. Yeah. And then when they show you Superman, don't make it all light and fluffy, but take the color and enhance it a little bit to make it, like, more, like Dave was saying, more comic-y, comic book.
Well, if you do want to see that, there's a great bootleg version. I think a fanboy or two made it. And they took the new Dawn of Justice, and they took old scenes of Adam West and Burt Ward, Batman and Robin. They took old scenes of Christopher Reeves from the first four Superman movies, and they cut their own trailer together for Dawn of Justice. And it shows you exactly just how far the comic book movie industry and the whole feel of it has come.
But I saw that before we went on the air at your insistence, and it was really cool.
Hey, Dave, tell me. Do you bleed?
No, I was just about to say. I was just about to say
once
this.
A month,
exactly.
He gets really cranky right before it. But like the that moment, like when the Avengers trailer first, the first Avengers, when it first came out, the first time you saw Captain America standing with Iron Man and Thor, it was a moment for you.
Yes.
You know, like it was like oh my goodness. Now when you had that moment where you saw Batman and Superman face to face, I had that moment all over again.
Until those words came out.
No, those words were awesome.
Those words were stupid.
Don't even bother.
I thought that was corny.
Danny was making memes about that. Mean-spirited memes. Yeah.
No, they're funny. But the thing I had a question is, do you think, you know how, I guess Superman, I don't know much about Superman. You know how he like supposedly doesn't bleed unless kryptonite is around. He gets weak, blah, 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 whatever.
He can bleed if he gets punched hard enough.
Well, yeah, but he gets weaker, right, with kryptonite.
They're not really doing kryptonite in these movies.
No, the reason why I was going to say that is because if Batman wants to face him and blah, 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 do you think that he's going to, being that he has money, is buy kryptonite and then just put it into his armor or something? And then, like, kind of get closer to him.
No, I think he just built a super powerful power suit. He's going to punch him in the face.
He didn't build it. He bought it.
No, he builds it.
He bought it.
Lucius.
How do you build something if you have to? If you need something to purchase with money?
He builds.
Where do you pull it out of his ass? Out of the ground?
He built it the same way Tony Stark built it, by buying it.
He built it in a cave with a bunch of scraps.
Let's get back on point.
I just watched Iron Man 1 yesterday, and he builds it in a super powerful laboratory with an AI that does all the work for him. Jarvis, assemble this for me. All right, sir.
I'm so pissed at you for not bringing me to WWE.
Here's the thing I'm worried about with you whippersnappers. I'm a year or two older than you guys. And when the 9-year-old kid that's in my brain that still navigates me through life.
Right? I'm not even going to say anything.
Yeah, I know. We just looked at each other.
Yeah, but
the 9-year-old kid that's in my bed.
Yeah. Yeah. But listen, that 9-year-old boy that's deep inside of me.
Shh. Okay, he's
trying to make God!
Listen, the point is, the wondering.
What is your pedophile?
No, you got to edit that.
Poor Dave.
Here's the thing. What I'm saying is, back in the day.
What I'm saying is that due to Megan's Law, I have to inform you.
I don't think you're going to get that out.
Go ahead, Dave. I promise. I'm done.
The thing is, you guys are so busy nitpicking about the little things and the nuances and stuff that doesn't really matter. We are living in an age of where there's like 50 billion superhero movies now.
Hi, Buster.
That's unheard of in my childhood. We're very fortunate.
We are very fortunate for that. I'm always 100% into that.
Let's move on with the Joker.
Okay. So, yeah, for the Suicide Squad, they just released the first photo of Jared Leto as the Joker. And now I'm assuming we're going to have differing opinions on this as well.
Of course we are. You're going to absolutely love it and think it's the best thing in the whole goddamn world, because I know how you are.
It's Leto.
Is it Leto? I always thought it was Leto.
I think it's Leto.
You wanted differing opinions.
Leto. I like the look.
Of course you do.
Well, first of all, Joker having tattoos all over his body doesn't bother me, because at the end of the day, how often are you going to see the Joker with his shirt off?
I don't mind that, because actually when they did the Frank Miller version, he had a big tattoos, dragon on his back.
Yeah. Only one I don't like is the forehead tattoo. I don't even mind the teardrop on his face. It's the forehead tattoo that I'm not crazy about.
Do you know Manson? As like gangsta, do you know what the teardrop means?
No.
It means they murdered somebody. They killed somebody.
Oh, okay.
Well. So that's why I don't really feel like that's something he should have. If he should, maybe have like 50 of them, how many people he killed.
Look beyond the tattoos, though, and look at the look in his eyes.
He has a goddamn grill.
No, I like the grill.
For what?
Because it means that Batman punched his teeth out.
But why wouldn't he get like some nice like porcelain or veneers
because
or whatever the hell they're called?
Because he has to look. He looks scary.
He doesn't look scary. He looks stupid.
No, he looks scary.
Would you say he looks like Josh Todd from?
He looks
Buck
like Josh
Cherry?
Todd. Because
now the rumor
from
that
from
Latino
Buck
Review is reporting that this movie takes place. Suicide Squad takes place before Batman versus Superman, but after Man of Steel. Okay, so the Joker is in prison for the entire thing. He's kind of like a Hannibal Lecter. And Amanda Waller is grilling him because the Joker is the only person in the world who is confirmed to have engaged the Batman. And Amanda Waller is trying to capture Batman. And so she is grilling the Joker for information on him. Now, the rumor is that this Joker exists in a world where he has just shot Barbara Gordon through the spine. The Killing Joke, and has just killed Jason Todd, the second Robin.
Well, that's not
so
nice.
So it stands to reason Batman punched all of his teeth out. I like it because when I first saw the grill, I was like, Batman punched his teeth because Batman always punches Joker's teeth out, but he always miraculously has teeth again.
Well, here's the problem though. Once again, we get a Caped Crusader, a Batman character with a very minute, very limited crime-fighting career, like Christian Bale. He only had half a dozen adventures.
Dave, were you not listening 5 minutes ago when I said this Batman has been Batman for 10 years?
Yeah, but you're
point?
Saying he's an urban legend.
No, because he is in the shadows. He's a creature of the night. He is doing all this stuff, but nobody has actually seen it. He's not
so
receiving.
He's like a ninja.
He's not. Oh, Caped Crusaders! This week we're giving you the key to the city in broad daylight. We're not. They're not doing that. He's
is he Irish?
No,
that's Chief O'Hara.
Fool.
Oh,
from the
okay.
It's not
and
the.
Don't you dare!
Hello, fine citizens of Gotham. It's the creature of the night.
They pick up the glass bowl over the red phone, yep. And they call Batman. On
yeah,
it.
No, this
nothing
is not that.
That.
This is not that.
I
this
think,
is,
I
this
think
is the Joker has seen him, and maybe Gordon has seen him.
Still
at this
a
point.
Limited crime-fighting career.
I think
no,
the image
a long-standing crime-fighting career, but just not in the public eye. That's the point of Batman.
Unlike
that,
me and Buster, always in the public eye.
Yes, no matter how much the public tries to.
Yeah, unfortunately. I will say the image within itself, I think, looks cool.
Uh-huh.
But I don't like how it, like, I don't see Joker as that. They don't even have, like, the little scars on the side.
Because
like,
that was an invention.
Smile.
You have to make him look different from Heath Ledger.
I guess, but
Jack Nicholson had the full-out clown look,
yeah.
And he had, like, the rictus grin. Heath Ledger had the scars. You have to do something different, otherwise it's just a rip-off.
It still looks like an album cover.
It does look like an album cover.
Yeah.
It looks like a Marilyn Manson album cover. Yeah. I'll give you that.
I'll tell you my opinion. Jared Leto is a solid actor.
Yeah.
He always does a good job. Wasn't crazy about the image they released. Actually, there's been several images. But having said that, I think he'll do a fine job.
Yeah, no, definitely.
So I'm very much looking forward to Suicide Squad.
And I'll tell you what, the character of the Joker is much like Robin, much maligned. Is it maligned? Like, there's
guess.
Been a lot of
Isn't
Jokers.
Isn't it a Disney movie?
No, but what I'm trying to say...
The Lion King?
Oh, you silly boys. Listen, the greatest Joker ever committed to film was not even the Joker, but it was the inspiration to a young trio called Bob Kane, Jerry Robinson, and Bill Finger. There's an old silent movie called The Man Who Laughs. And
uh-huh.
If you Google that later, listeners, Google The Man Who Laughs. It's a black and white... I think the actor was Conrad Veidt or something like that. And he was so sinister... As this twisted, demented villain, he looked like the Joker to Bob Kane and the rest, and they drew Jerry Robinson drew the Joker to look like the silent film star.
I thought Bill Finger drew the.
No, Bill Finger was the writer.
Oh, okay.
He was the writer who gotten almost no credit. Jerry
no
Robinson,
no credit whatsoever. There actually there's a big movement to get Bill Finger his
yes.
credit and get
yep.
his estate some right because Bob Kane
he was a businessman.
He Bob
he
Kane was,
shrewd. Was
a dick. And he just kind of, like Bob Kane's version of Batman. Have you ever seen a sketch of what it originally looked like? It's awful.
Yes.
Everything we know and love about Batman to this day is created by Bill Finger.
We have no proof that he was in fact a dick, but he was a shrewd businessman who loved to take credit for the work of others.
Uh-huh.
And so the Man Who Laughs, the ultimate Joker, you'll get chills when you look at it. It's sinister.
You know, about the Bill Finger thing, Neil. Somebody, Kevin Smith asked Neil Adams, your friend who yelled at you.
Your BFF.
It's not his fault.
Your frenemy.
It was not his fault. It was not my fault. It was just a bad
day. It was your fault. But anyway, Kevin Smith said to him, because, you know, he fought so hard for Siegel and Schuster.
Yes.
And he said, well, what about Bill Finger? And Neil Adams actually had something interesting to say. He was like, you know, I don't really feel as bad. I'm paraphrasing, but he's like, I don't really feel as bad for Bill Finger because Bill Finger never tried to get the rights when he was alive. He never fought it. He just took it.
So he's like,
there's only so much you can do. Like Siegel and Schuster wanted the rights. They fought for it, and Neil Adams backed them because of it.
Absolutely.
Bill Finger just kind of rolled over and took it.
Yeah. Well, the same way with Marvel's recluse, Steve Ditko. He never comes out of the woodwork for his $1 billion that they owe him for the Spider-Man franchise.
Yeah.
So that's, you know, everyone's different.
All right, ready to move on to another trailer?
Yes.
Okay. Star Wars, Episode 7, The Force Unleashed.
Sorry,
not The Force Unleashed. The Force Awakens.
Oh, he's a real Star Wars fan.
Force Unleashed. Yeah, he doesn't even know.
Force Unleashed was a video game. I got it mixed up for a second.
Yes.
The Force Awakens, I thought the trailer looked great.
Here's how I refer to that. The Force Awakens, yawns, and then goes back to sleep.
You saw Harrison Ford as Han Solo again.
Who cares? Get goosebumps like all you guys. Everyone's telling me
because
about
you're not because you're not Star Wars.
That's
people.
Probably what it is.
Like we're if you guys
home,
were Star Jerry. Wars,
we're home.
The old folks home. but it's just because you guys aren't Star Wars people. I mean, when Star Wars people watch that trailer, they freak out because you see certain things. You see Luke. You hear Luke. You see Luke like touching R2 on R2's dome.
You see Carrie Fisher's gnarled hand.
Yes, you see Carrie Fisher holding Darth Vader's lightsaber.
See, I must have fell asleep during the trailer because I didn't see any of that.
Vader's burnt up, mashed
up. Is that
a
lightsaber?
Mask.
Or are you just happy to see me?
The one thing that I thought was very cool is that BB-8, the ball thing.
Yeah.
That everyone was saying, oh, that stupid CGI garbage. They had an interview
effect.
With them on the stage, and they just wowed the crowd. They wound up saying, all right, BB-8, because R2-D2 was on the stage. Uh-huh. They said, all right, come out. And the freaking thing just rolled onto the stage, and I don't know how in God's name this ball just has that little dome thing on top just floating around like that. They actually created that robot.
And I got to give it to JJ for this. I mean, we all know how in our fourth episode that almost was the destruction of Bat Squad Radio, that I publicly decry JJ Abrams for that first teaser where we saw nothing, which I still stand by to this day.
Oh, you mean your mega rant?
Yeah. But I got to give it to JJ. This trailer was good. It showed us things that we wanted to see. And it, I give JJ a lot of credit for not overly relying on CGI. Everything is built on sets.
Yep.
Everything is done on soundstage or on location. And most of the effects are practical effects.
Yeah, well, they're saying too. They wanted to keep like the robots and everything. They wanted the actors to physically interact with them.
Well, yeah, because
awesome.
When you see like them filming the prequel trilogy, like behind the scenes stuff, it's literally just like Hayden Christensen and Ewan McGregor standing in front of a blue screen.
Yeah.
Well, I brought that up in episode 11, and you guys ripped me a new one. You really lambasted me when I jokingly said, "If Hollywood wants to have robots in their damn movies, build robots. I'm tired of seeing CGI. CGI to me is a video game."
I think it depends on what it is. Like, if you're going to have Transformers, come on. You're not going to build these huge goddamn Transformers.
Build them at half scale.
What, and like they did with like The Hobbit?
Just get shorter actors. You got Mark Wahlberg and you got Shia LaBeouf. They're short. What are we up to now?
Okay. Well, one other thing I want to touch on was in Star Wars news, they released the trailer for season 2 of the cartoon series Star Wars Rebels, and it was better than the episode 7 trailer.
That's pretty sad.
Because here's the thing. Dave Filoni, the guy who made the Clone Wars cartoon, the guy who makes the Rebels cartoon, he makes Star Wars properties that are better than the movies.
Yeah.
Clone Wars was fantastic, and Rebels has been out of this world as well, no pun intended. We saw James Earl Jones make his return as Darth Vader in the series. He will be in most of the episodes of the season voicing Darth Vader. And, you know.
Well, I'm all for cartoons if they're done correctly. Like, I remember one with Spider-Man and his amazing friends.
Spider-Man and his amazing friends.
With, I think it was Firestar.
Firestar.
And Iceman.
Iceman.
Any news about Iceman lately?
He's gay.
No, I meant, no, like gay. His character.
He's gay.
In the all-new X-Men in issue number 40, Jean Grey can sense, Iceman, you're gay. Like, come on.
Jean Grey.
You mean
Jean Grey, right?
Jean Grey with her gaydar.
Wait,
gaydar.
So Bobby Drake is a homosexual.
Apparently.
Yes.
But that negates 50 years of character.
Well, that's my thing. I said this on Watchtower. It was if you want to make gay superheroes, I'm all for it. I think it's great. I think it's a great representation of a part of our society. But create new gay superheroes.
Yeah.
Don't take characters that have been established for 50 plus years and be like, oh, they're gay now.
That wipes out his entire backstory from X-Men 1, 1963.
Yep.
So that's 52 years where he's straight, and now he's gay.
When they did the Young Avengers, it was like younger versions of like the event, like new kids that are stepping up to take mantle of the Avengers. They had Hulkling and Wiccan, and they made them gay, which is fine. They're new characters. But when you're like, Ultimate Colossus is gay, it's like, what? Or Iceman is gay.
Yeah,
what?
Stupid.
Alan Scott is gay. Northstar is gay. Like, just make new characters if you want gay superheroes.
Didn't he have, like, a crush on somebody in X-Men a while ago? And, like, Colossus was fighting with him? I don't...
In the movies...
Something like
in
that.
In the movies, Iceman had a crush
Rogue.
On Rogue.
They did the Gambit Rogue romance with Iceman.
That's right.
But in the comic books, to really date myself, in the 70s, there was a love triangle with him. I think he liked Dark Star, but we're talking about Champions, so no one remembers the Champions.
Right.
But the thing is, thanks to Bruce Jenner now, with the whole Diane Sawyer
interview.
You
are just dying to talk about this Bruce Jenner
thing. No, it relates to comic books and the entertainment industry in whole. Thanks to Bruce Jenner, you will see in a year or two from now, mark my words, there will be transgender superheroes.
I'm sure there will.
I don't know who they're going to do it to. But
probably Spider-Man. Batman. That was pretty good.
You guys canceled each other out.
I should have said Superman. Oh well.
Spider Denny.
Italian mother Spider-Man.
Okay.
No,
anyway,
I'm taking a serious topic and dumbing it down to comics. But you know, art
speaking of
things,
so Fantastic Four had a trailer this week as well, and it was awful.
Yeah,
awful.
As I don't know if anyone have seen the Tim Allen movie called Zoom. I felt like I was watching a trailer for that. It was like little kids that like had superpowers and were able to do things.
Was it like
and
Hero High with Kurt Russell?
Yeah,
it looks like Shark Boy and Lava Girl.
Exactly. It was horrible.
It's
it was so
well
bad.
For Reed Richards. I mean, they cast not only did they cast a really young early 20s actor to play him, but they cast a young actor in his 20s that looks like he's 13.
Yeah.
Well, you know who that is. He was from a J.K. Simmons Oscar-winning movie Whiplash.
Yeah.
He's the drummer.
He's
also
in Divergent.
Shape.
The young adult film. Not adult film, but like the young adult novel turned into a film. I get it. so yeah, he's from Divergent. But like they all look horrible. The human, listen, I have no problem with, I have no problem with gay superheroes, I have no problem with black superheroes.
Yeah.
But make a black superhero. Don't make
Johnny Storm,
who is Sue Storm's brother, black.
Yeah,
and
that's
I think the term is
African
American, Kevin. Thanks for alienating.
Not at
War World
Newspapers, it's not.
Listen. I think that Fantastic Four movie will be better than we're giving it credit for because we're just
It's not. It's going to be awful. They changed their origin completely.
True.
They get their powers from another dimension now, not from cosmic rays, which I'm just like, well, why don't we just take Gamma away from the Hulk? Why don't we take the Spider away from Spider-Man?
Well, aren't they trying to like revamp the whole thing because they took the comics away, they canceled them and all that, so maybe they're just
trying to
redo it.
I don't think it has anything to do with it. I think they're just trying something new, hoping it'll stick, but it's not going to. Doom, they only show Doom for like a second. He looks awful. It's another techno-organic Doom instead of just a guy in an iron suit.
You know what I did, which is actually pretty funny, because how you always talk about the thing. You're like, he's not wearing pants.
He's not wearing pants.
I actually went through the trailer and paused it to see if he's wearing pants, and you're right.
He's not wearing pants.
Not.
He's stark nude.
That's awesome. What if he's rock hard? I think we talked about that before.
This is the third time that joke has been made on this podcast.
I'm sorry.
I'm putting a ban on the rock hard thing joke from now on.
Sounds and good. Let's talk about Avengers Age of Ultron.
Let's talk about the Ant-Man trailer.
Oh, that looks like fun.
It does.
It looks like Toy Story meets Marvel. Did you see where they're fighting on a train set?
Yeah, the Thomas the Tank engine, yeah.
So this
cool.
Oh, really?
Not
see, I didn't see the trailer yet.
Too seriously.
Yeah.
Paul Rudd has never looked better. It looks like they got him a personal trainer.
Oh, he's in monster shape.
The Ant-Man costume looks awesome. You're going to be seeing nothing but cosplay of Ant-Man later this year.
Yep.
And I think they even have Yellow Jacket as the villain.
Yes, Yellow Jacket is the villain. You know, it's a slight deviation from comic books because Yellow Jacket's usually Hank Pym. And
I get it. Ant man in Yellow Jacket?
Yeah.
And wow,
the villain,
awesome.
The actor plays a great douchebag. I forget his
does.
Name. But it looks like a lot of fun.
His name is Dennis.
And I like the way that they I like the way that they explain like how he's strong. They tell him like you're like a bullet.
Right.
Which is, you know, it's cool because he hits you like a bullet.
What if we've watched Avengers and Ant-Man was in it the whole time, but we never knew?
You've also talked about this before.
God damn it.
What if you kept repeating yourself every week?
I guess I'm tired of doing
garbage. You guys mentioned this Mad Max film, which I had never heard of.
Road to Fury.
Oh, boy, yeah. I'm not even a big Mad Max fan with the whole Mel Gibson meltdown, but this new Mad Max looks so visually stunning.
But I hate to tell you, Dave, a lot of it's special effects. Are you going to be mad?
It's a lot of CGI?
No.
Yeah?
No, because from what I saw in the trailer, it's like a painting, a sick, twisted painting come to life. It almost looks
made
like a
CGI.
Rob Zombie movie mixed with...
Yeah, that's the problem with these Mad Max films nowadays. There's too much damn CGI in it.
Yeah, god damn it.
Well, listen,
I'm going to...
Tell me, did the colors to you look like... I know this is like your thing, Doc Savage.
Yeah.
That's the first thing I thought of.
They're in the desert. Everything's very orange.
I think it looks really cool.
Yeah, it looks good. And I'm going to give Kevin his big breakout moment. So, listeners, your buddy, Tom Hardy, who played Bane in The Dark Knight Rises, is cast as Mad Max this time.
Oh, good for him.
So I wonder what Bane would sound like if he was Mad Max.
Huh. That would be interesting.
It would be incredible right now if someone could impersonate Tom Hardy as Bane being Mad Max.
In a perfect world, that would happen.
Right now.
What are we waiting for? Danny, you want to do something?
Is he like around the block or something?
I'm waiting to be impressed.
Was that Sean Connery?
Right. I was playing it off, but now Dave had to go do a bad impression. So,
my name is Mad Max, and there's a lot of CGI in my movie. Bat Dave shouldn't like it, but he does because he's a bloody hypocrite.
Hey, Mad Max, what do you think of your co-star Charlize Theron?
I think Bat Dave is a hypocrite.
Mad Max has only got one thing on his mind this week.
Yes, and when it's me and not Charlize Theron, you've got a problem.
Oh God.
Hey folks, Kev here with some news about how you, the listener, can help out your favorite podcast network. And by that I mean the White Dragon Podcast Network. I hope that didn't need explaining. Are you an online shopper? Chances are the answer to that is yes. Well, if you're going to be doing any shopping on Amazon.com and would like a cost-free way to support your favorite free podcasts, then head over to WhiteDragonPodcastNetwork.com and click on the Amazon banner at the top of the page. It takes you to the same Amazon page you've always gone to. You don't pay a penny extra, and the White Dragon Podcast Network gets a small percentage of what you buy. If you're looking to support the network in a more direct manner, you can go to whitedragonpodcastnetwork.com/sponsor and make a small monetary donation to the upkeep of the server, website, and network in general. No amount is too small, and all donations will be recognized on Two Men and the Mouse, Mouselanius, and Bat Squad Radio. Thank you so much. It's through the support of dedicated listeners like you that these shows remain on the air and free for everyone. From the bottom of my heart, thank you for your continued attention and for your support of the White Dragon Podcast Network. Hey, folks, Kevin Kessler from the White Dragon Podcast Network here. And one of the questions I get asked all the time is, Kevin, I want to have a podcast, but I have no idea what I'm doing. I don't know anything about audio equipment. I don't know anything about editing. I don't know anything about how to post and promote a podcast. Well, folks, you are in luck, because what if I told you there is a way you can have your podcast with minimal effort from you and still be a part of the White Dragon Podcast Network, joining the family of 9 all-star podcasts that are already broadcasting 7 days a week here on WDPN. For a free consultation, please send an email to kevin@whitedragonpodcastnetwork.com, and I will tell you personally how we can take care of everything from the production to the editing to the posting to the server space to promotion of your podcast. I want to welcome you into the White Dragon Podcast Network family, so please drop me a line, kevin@whitedragonpodcastnetwork.com. I look forward to welcoming you into the White Dragon Podcast Network.
So what else we got?
There was this this hoax, this elaborate hoax that was online recently.
Oh, about Denny cosplaying for the first time?
No, we're not there yet. That's later. This is a Denny-related story, though, because there was a fake post-credit scene for Avengers Age of Ultron that was leaked that featured Spider-Man. And Denny, I guess for some reason, didn't think, if it were real, Denny decided that it just wasn't a spoiler.
I creamed my pants when I saw it.
He posted it everywhere and was sending it to people, and I was just like, Denny, if this is real, I'm going to murder you.
The funniest thing, because he kept going, he goes, dude, you better not tell me, like through text back and forth. I said, fine, I won't tell you, but I will say it's amazing.
And I was like, I'm going to kill you.
So you're talking about that footage where the window washer clears the window and there's Spider-Man in the background. Where did that footage come from
then? I don't know. Somebody made it.
Someone probably made it.
Wow.
Joss Whedon said it's fake.
Oh, it tricked me.
Yeah. But I knew it was fake also because they showed like the very end of the Avengers credits.
Yeah.
And then it went into it, and Joss has already said there's nothing at the end of Avengers.
I don't believe him.
No, because Marvel does now what's called a tag instead of a post-credits scene. It's like, remember in Avengers, like...
It's in between, kind of.
Yeah, you got, like, those first credits where it was, like, the close-ups of, like, Thor's hammer and Cap's shield.
Yeah, like, the main characters.
Yeah, and then it went to the Thanos scene, and then you hit the credits, and then you got the shawarma scene.
Yeah.
So there's going to be a tag, like the Thanos scene,
in
that spot, but there's not going to be anything at the end,
which is going to be Spider-Man on the side of the building.
If it is, you're dead.
That's going to be awesome.
I think that Denny's right.
Like, if it is, I know where Denny's watching the movie, and I know at what time, so I'm watching it before him. So
they confirmed that Spider-Man is going to be in Civil War.
Yes, I know. That was confirmed like 3 months ago.
Not confirmed. That was just confirmed.
And the one thing you keep forgetting is that before Denny was the king of cosplay, he was the king of spoilers.
Yes.
So this the could be of spoilers. True. What else we got?
Possible Spider-Man animated film coming from Sony.
Yes, I'm so excited for that.
And his amazing friends.
No.
Oh, I wish. I love Spider-Man and his amazing friends. I really do. They had the apartment where like the little switch and all the computers come. I'm like, what do you need all these computers for, Spider-Man? You never actually use them.
And it was such a weird random pairing.
Spider-Man and his amazing friends. They're just two random X-Men.
Yeah.
I wonder what they're going to like, how they're going to draw it, or it's going to be like kind of like Batman animated, you know, kind of like
I was shadowy. Drawing like Spider-Man and his amazing friends.
What?
I hope it's drawn like that.
No, I want it like new, updated. Like I don't want it. Better not be like the garbage, like computer graphic crap. It better be actually drawn. I want it to be drawn.
Well, very few things are actually drawn nowadays.
Unfortunately,
yeah. I'm assuming this will be a direct-to-DVD, as like both like the DC animated films are.
Most likely,
because those DC animated films, they're top notch.
Yeah,
they're unbelievably good.
Well, at least DC got something right.
Well, no, they've got that over on Marvel. It's unfortunate though that the live action movies make $1 billion for Marvel. The animated films make a couple million for DC, but you know. Okay, so you want to talk about Daredevil? Just got season 2 picked up, and I know you've watched a few episodes, right,
yes,
Dave?
Yes, because I don't believe in binge watching; it's unnatural.
Uh-huh.
I have watched the first 2 episodes of Netflix Daredevil. And I think it's wonderful. And I'm just going to keep watching it 2 episodes at a time.
It took me about 2 weeks to finish the whole thing.
All right.
So, you know, I took my time with it. My brother finished it in literally a day.
There's a rumor going around that said Miles Morales is going to be in season 2.
I believe, because if it's in the MCU, it would make sense to introduce Miles Morales in Hell's Kitchen.
Yeah.
And not as Spider-Man, obviously.
Yeah, just as him.
And then if you're going to eventually do like a movie with 2 Spider-Men, with Miles and Peter, introduce Miles and Daredevil and
cool.
Then spin him off into Spider-Man so that we already know who he is.
Yep.
Daredevil, I mean, I'm going to go on a limb here, guys, and say I think Daredevil is the best thing Marvel Studios has ever produced.
Even the movies?
Yes.
Really?
It's that good. It's dark, it's gritty, it's adult, it's just so good. And here's the thing, something somebody said to me recently, and I realized that they were right. Marvel Studios, not very good with the villains. The Marvel movie villains, with the exception of Loki, have all been very blasé, very laissez-faire. If you think about it, like Ironmonger might as well have not been in the movie. Whiplash, he was awful. Loki was really good, but then Malekith from Thor 2, awful. Red Skull was good, but we didn't get enough of him.
Yeah,
right.
If he would have come back, he'd be up in that upper echelon. But, you know, we'll see what Ultron's like. But Wilson Fisk, the Kingpin, is the best villain they've ever created. He is complex. He is intense. You actually feel kind of, you kind of like root for him a couple times.
Yeah, he doesn't look like Kingpin, though. He's not like a 5,000 pound
Because nobody is that big.
I know a couple people.
King Kong Bundy's that big, but nobody else.
I'm not up to the introduction.
David Jay could do it, but like nobody.
Exactly.
No, I'm not up to, because like I said, I'm up to the first 2 episodes, but I'll tell you what, I can't wait to see the Kingpin. But what I like now with those first 2 episodes, he's just a black-clad vigilante.
Right,
and a lot of street fighting and bone breaking.
He gets ass handed to him a couple times.
Yeah, and I actually like that costume.
I feel like it's what like a Batman TV show should look like too, where he's just like, it's just like down and dirty, fist to face.
You know, you talked about that in the last episode.
Oh.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. So cut it out.
Just wait, Dave, because like you know how he's like all beat up in episode two.
Yeah.
Just wait, because he gets beat up much, much worse in the course of the season.
I like Karen Page. She's
Yeah, the girl from True Blood does a really good job as Karen.
Foggy Nelson's all right.
Foggy's great. He's perfect as Foggy. He was actually Fulton Reed from the Mighty Ducks. I know that means nothing to you, but Denny might.
Yes. Are you serious?
Yeah.
Oh, that's
he's
cool.
He's Fulton Reed, and like once you awesome. See it, you can't unsee it.
So, he was actually at Chiller this weekend.
Was he?
Yeah. They had a whole reunion for the Mighty Ducks.
Oh, did awesome. We go to Chiller?
No, because Gene O'Brien did not get us tickets.
The guy we featured on episode.
Yeah, Gene went. I saw pictures of him with like some celebrity.
I was just telling. Oh. I was telling Dave the other day.
Some celebrity.
Don't interrupt. That's rude.
No, that was Anne Margaret.
I don't care who. I don't even know who. She's some crappy movie that people like, and her line was really long, but no one gives a shit.
She was Elvis's lover.
Now I forgot what I was going to say.
Good.
You're a jerk.
Anne Margaret was also on the Flintstones as Anne Margrock.
I know. Gene, I like how we go to these shows and we got strangers that give us tickets. Oh, you guys are Bat Dave and Denny? Here you go. You guys are awesome. Thank you. And we walk in. Don't say a word, Kevin. Thank you. And what happened?
Say Anne Denny.
And then out of nowhere, we asked Gene, can you get us tickets? Because he gets in for free from somebody he knows, and he never gives us tickets. He's a jerk.
And this is an old good friend of ours.
Well, yours more than mine.
True.
About 50 plus
years. But enough with
years.
Bashing Gene. Anne Margaret was one of the biggest sex symbols of the 1960s.
We weren't alive yet.
I'd like to say the same.
But you can't. You were 30.
What else we got?
Denny lit the cosplay world on fire.
AmazerCon!
Did I? What'd I do?
You dressed up as Italian Spider-Man in front of the 20 people that were at AmazerCon last week.
It was more than 20. It was actually a lot.
False modesty.
Yeah.
I rarely speak highly of Denny, but I have to say, he nailed it. He's been trying to do this Italian
for like
Spider-Man
5 years.
Character for a decade.
I will say, Denny, I saw the pictures. And
don't even say Ron Jeremy because I'll kick you in the balls.
I wasn't going to say it, but okay, now that you mention it, holy crap.
Let me give
I didn't even think of that, but oh my God.
Well, I didn't either. He did the whole time, though. Yeah.
Well, because I watched the I don't know if you call it a movie. It's a bunch of clips, and they put it together, 45-minute movie, I guess. And I thought that the whole time, but I read a lot of like a Wikipedia and stuff is – they wanted to kind of look like a dirty old man. Ron Jeremy. There you go. Perfect.
Well, Italian Spider-Man, for a lot of people, including the judges at AmazeCon, the costume contest, some of the judges didn't even know, but Italian Spider-Man about 5-6 years ago was an internet sensation.
Right.
It's supposed to be like a 70s, mid-70s exploitation, vigilante action movie. And Italian Spider-Man, that was a character Denny felt he could pull off, and he did.
And you did very
and
well.
So much
thank you.
So
thank you.
That at AmazeCon in Essington, PA this last weekend, which was like a weekend-long party, Denny, in a giant crowd of cosplay and costumes and whatnot, Denny came in second place overall.
Oh,
wow.
Yeah.
So second place out of the 10 people that came there to
there
AmazeCon
was more than
cosplay.
10, Kevin. Shut
there,
up.
There was
you're
about,
just mad.
Yeah, there was
you're
about 100 people in costume. And he lost rightly, and I have to say this only because of the amount of work that this married couple put in. The first place was Robbie the Robot and the robot.
You were
from,
telling me about
Lost
that. That sounds
space.
Awesome. That
life
sounds
size,
awesome.
Life-size cosplay of these two robots. The problem was, as Denny pointed out, they couldn't even come to the stage to accept their trophy because they couldn't go down steps.
They couldn't do anything. They're just sitting there.
They were
beep,
inside.
Beep, boop, beep, bop, bop, bop. That's it. I'm like, that's
oh, stupid. You're not bitter at all.
They're just, whatever.
He's a little bitter.
How's that silver metal taste?
It actually tastes great.
I'll tell you what. One thing
not
about
as good as gold.
Let me tell you.
I love gold.
I want to continue complimenting
from?
Him if he would shut up.
I'm sorry.
The thing is, in the world of cosplay, don't think it's all apple pies and unicorns. Cosplay is an ugly, competitive world. And for people to come up to me while Denny was up there being judged, because I was eliminated. Me and my buddy, we did Green Hornet and Kato. We came in fifth place and sixth place, which is nice, but no trophy.
Wow. In your mind.
I had other cosplayers coming up to me and saying, that Italian Spider-Man is what it's all about. Because Denny made it from scratch. He didn't go to Party City. He didn't have some tailor make it in Italy. He did it himself, and I watched him slave over this. He put it together, and he did a great job.
Yeah, better luck next year, though, buddy.
I had a blast.
Because if you're not first, you're last.
Yeah, it's fine. I don't
care. And not only that, he actually turned people onto that character at the show. Half the people that voted for him thought he made up that character.
Yeah.
And he was like,
oh, really?
He's like, no. He goes, Google Italian Spider-Man. And then they're like, oh, my God, that's even more brilliant. But the thing is, you know, next year, What are we going to do? How do we top that?
Well, they wanted me to be a judge next year. So I don't know if I want to do it or not. But I will say the whole thing of cosplay is, it's like I said, it's my first full cosplay. I enjoyed every second of it. As soon as you put on like this costume, mask, not mask, whatever, you become that person. You feel like a different person, and you could act and be that person. So Italian Spider-Man, he's kind of like a douchebag.
But a cool one.
So this must have been a real stretch for you.
I knew he was going to say that, and whatever, he's a jerk. And so I played up the whole time. I kept in character the whole entire time. What now?
Nothing.
He had a sawed-off shotgun that he was pointing in people's faces, and people were loving it.
Yeah, no,
Did you do a voice, or were you just your own voice?
Yeah. I tried to do it, but it was stupid.
Hold on. Let's have Italian Spider-Man say a couple words to us here.
You got to respect women. I can't speak Italian.
You'll get to see Denny.
Expecting like a bippity boopity boppity boppity bippity.
No, it's not Mario.
He looks like Ron.
Yahoo! It's me, Mario.
Oh, we should do Mario and Luigi.
Can I be Mario?
Yeah.
Okay.
What could I be? Asteroid?
He could be Waluigi.
Oh my gosh.
That'd be perfect.
And David J is Wario.
Oh dude, we gotta do it. That'd be great.
I think I know what we're doing for New York.
Oh, that'd be funny.
I wanna be Frogger.
Frogger.
Here's the thing. Denny looked just like Italian Spider-Man, which is basically for him Ron Jeremy without the giant wiener. So also some other quick highlights of AmazingCon.
Wait, how do you know my size of my wiener?
Because you're always moaning about how small it is and how unsatisfied Laura is.
All right, you're cutting that part.
Laura's his wife.
Married?
Shut up.
It does work,
though.
What's
next? I'm tired
of
talking about
this.
I'm over it.
Real quick. AmazingCon, quickly. We met William Sanderson from Blade Runner, who in fact says Blade Runner 2 is being filmed as we speak. Very nice guy. He played the mad scientist. Denny became tech support for Buck Rogers. Buck Rogers, because they had some computer problems at the show.
His laptop wasn't working. They had, like, you know, that little square device that you could run credit cards. It wasn't working properly, so
I use it for work.
Yeah, so he walked over to me, and he's like, oh, Mike from AmazingCon said that you're good with this tech stuff. So anyway, so I was over there for at least a good like 20 minutes or so, you know, his iPad, and trying to fix it. And then he like thanked me a million times, and I was sitting. He's like, oh, you want to sit down and just like hang out? I'm like, all right. So we're just hanging out for a while.
What? Gil Gerard.
Who? Who is that?
Gil Gerard.
Buck Rogers.
Buck Rogers.
What's that?
Gil Gerard actually said to Denny was, he looked at Denny, said, you don't look like you're good at sports. You could probably fix my computer. Anyhow, more highlights was Veronica Cartwright from Alien and the Birds.
Right.
She's wonderful.
Neil Adams there?
No, I didn't.
Did you just call me fat?
No. No, I said you're not good at sports. Remember you hurt your back throwing the football the one time?
Yeah, because Gil Gerard knows that.
Listen, anyhow, I teamed
up. So Gil Gerard said that to you. Remember what Neil Adams said to Dave?
Oh, yeah.
Get out!
Get out of here, you cheap bastard.
That's right.
You old man. Go wheelchair yourself back out.
Don't bullshit me.
Listen.
And also, Marta Kristen was attacked by one of our friends. No, she was loved up by one of our friends. She's from she's Judy Robinson from Lost in Space. And I teamed up with Parker Stevenson. Team up with the Hardy Boys. So much fun at AmazingCon.
Yeah, that was a cool moment with them too. They were kind of walking around the con a little bit, taking photos and stuff. He was really, really nice.
We love Parker Stevenson.
It sounds like it's a very it's a unique experience.
It's a party. It's a very, very relaxed
because
atmosphere.
Because only 60 people the entire weekend got to be there. So.
Yes. and the 60 of them made the con one of the best cons I've ever been to.
Good, I'm glad. You just like the attention that you got because you were in cosplay.
Yeah, and I won a trophy.
Just start doing it more often at every show. You'll be happy, and you won't be like the miserable prick that you are at most cons.
Well, we do have a new cosplay.
I want to leave.
Denny was a lot of fun this past week.
We do have a new cosplay coming up.
Yeah, we do.
Oh, and that brings us to Wizard Philadelphia.
Yeah, I'm going via press. Aren't you too, Denny?
I got my confirmation.
Yeah, I'm so goddamn excited.
Well,
very awesome.
I can't
wait. They haven't corresponded yet.
Oh, yeah, you didn't get any.
Not really.
Seriously, you didn't get press.
Yeah, I've been checking every day.
And?
You guys got confirmed?
Yeah, I got confirmed, like a week ago?
Yeah.
Yeah, at least.
We both posted it on Facebook.
Oh, yeah, and we were, like, gloating how great it is.
Yeah.
And
obviously, they must have sent it through Gil Gerard's computer. I haven't received mine yet. It's probably an oversight. A meaningless oversight.
I really hope he doesn't go.
Wouldn't that be awesome if he didn't go?
I'll sneak in if I have to.
Oh, that would be a great...
I'll climb into my friend's Tweaky costume.
But yeah, so we're very excited. There's going to be a lot of awesome...
he's in it.
There's going to be a lot of great celebrities there.
David Tennant.
Yeah, but we're not getting anywhere near David Tennant. He's VIP only.
We don't have to get near him because we're doing our very own... The three of us doing our very own Doctor Who parody tribute.
Yeah, we're doing like wacky versions of like future incarnations of what the Doctor could look like.
Totally spontaneous.
What's yours going to look like, Kevin?
Something that nobody's going to really care about. I'm doing like a New Who kind of like, you know, streamlined David Tennant-esque
Doctor New Who? Is that what it's going to be called?
No, it's Doctor What?
Doctor What?
It's what I go to the Renaissance Fair is this every year.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I
you
go
have
as
pictures
I,
or no?
Yeah, I have pictures. I go as the Doctor, and people like it.
That's cool.
It's, you know, it's a navy blue like pinstriped suit with glasses and Converse and the sonic screwdriver.
Sounds kind of lame.
It is kind of lame.
Yeah. It sounds derivative. And I have a question for Denny, and it's focused at you, but I'm looking at Denny. Are we good people or are we bad people for taking Kevin's idea and improving upon it?
Well, I want to be bad because I don't give a shit about Kevin.
So you could be good. No, you could be bad.
I could be bad.
So you want to hear what my version is?
Yeah,
you could be like
that.
In the middle.
Should I go first?
Yeah.
All right. So you're doing a David Tennant-esque twist,
yeah.
But not that big of a twist. Almost like a copycat.
Well, I may change it when I hear what you guys are doing.
Well, here's what I'm doing. I'm taking
Wait, should we tell him? Because he says he's going to change it. I don't want him to change it to copy us.
I think he needs to feel ashamed of his lack of effort.
Okay.
I came up with this on Tuesday. I drew a doodle. I just quickly sketched out a doodle for me and Denny. I said, here's what we're going to do. And Kevin's going to either love it or hate it, but we're going to do it. And my version of Doctor Who is going to be called Doctor Why, as in, why are you doing this? So
right,
it's going to be 10% David Tennant. It's going to be 50% Tom Baker. It's going to be 25% Austin Powers. And it's going to be 15% Mick Jagger. And it's going to be awesome.
So the ageist Mick Jagger part.
Uh-huh.
I'm sorry, I had to say that.
That's all right. It's really, and you've seen what I'm
Yeah,
what I'm
it's
going
gonna, it's gonna look really
it's
cool.
It's going to be good.
All right, and Denny, what are you doing?
Mine's going to be called, it's because
you
yours.
You hear Kevin's voice falter?
Yeah, it's going to be called Doctor What a Waste.
Doctor
you knew
What?
You knew that was going to happen.
Doctor What a Waste.
Doctor What
his catchphrase.
And so I'm going to have the Fez hat. I'm going to be wearing like a white button-down shirt. I'm going to have like the thickest, like about 20 scarves wrapped around my head and my neck and everything. Black vest, just like slacks, like, you know, tan slacks, uh-huh. Black shoes or whatever. And then I found a sonic toothbrush that I'm going to be painting silver.
And I'm going to have a sonic garden hose nozzle.
See, I wanted him to do the egg beater. I think it'd be funny if he had a silver egg beater. And he just
sonic,
turns it.
A sonic egg beater.
I have to be seeing with you guys.
Yes, the whole weekend.
And we're going to have David J do Doctor When Are We Eating?
Right.
And he'll just have a big bib on, you know?
You guys even do British accents?
No, but
bloody
mine's just,
hell?
The whole time I was just going to sit right. there and just like just complain about things. Like, this is sort of such a waste. Like, Doctor
right.
Who is so stupid.
Can I do British accents? Is the Pope
So the answer
British?
To that question is no.
Exactly.
Is the Queen Irish?
So yeah, okay. So you got to keep yours. You better not change her. I'll be pissed.
All right, I'll play around with it.
Yeah, just have fun.
I would say make it a little less David Tennant and a little more Kevin Kessler.
Okay, I'll see what I can do.
I was going to call him Kevel. I almost called him K-Fed.
K-Fed.
Anything else we got going on? Atlantic City's coming up too.
Oh, ACBC, Atlantic City Boardwalk Con.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm going.
Why?
Because some a-hole winds up telling me like the last minute. First of all, he's like, yeah, dude, we're going to go. And so many go. I'm like, this looks great. There's a lot of celebrities there. Like, Shatner's going to be there. A lot of, like, you know, Stan Lee, Kevin Smith,
Adam West,
Burt Ward. So I'm excited about this. So Dave is like, we're going to.
A-hole? The aforementioned a-hole?
Yeah, why?
The listeners didn't know that.
It's clearly you.
Kevin's different a-hole.
A whole different breed.
So anyway, so out of nowhere, he's just like, he's like, me and Lisa are going to go down. Lisa's his girlfriend. Me and Lisa are going to go down on like Saturday morning, and we're going to sleep at my parents' house until Sunday, and we're going to go out and have dinner and do this, that, and the other thing.
Which benefits me. My folks live 20 minutes from the show.
Yeah, because you're selfish. So at first, like I said, I was going down with him, and then out of nowhere, he's like, yeah, he goes, yeah, you could just follow us down there in your car. I'm like, well, dude, like, you just told me that we're going to go together and hang out and go to the show. Well, we'll see.
Well, my dad has a tool shed in the backyard. We could just throw down some blankets for Denny.
Uh-huh.
That's not a problem.
That's where his father used to throw him when he was bad.
Right.
No, we're all going to Atlantic City. It's going to be a party.
Yep. Okay, so now, as we get towards the end, big week in for geeks. May 1st, Avengers Age of Ultron, as we said before, slated to be one of the highest grossing films of all time, comes out this Friday. So yesterday, actually, my wife and I took the entire day.
You're married?
And, yeah. We took the entire day and turned it into an Avengers marathon.
You had to spend the whole day with your wife.
I did, yeah.
No, more importantly, she had to spend the whole day with
me.
Yeah, true.
The lovely Jackie.
I'm not locked in here with you. You're locked in here with me. Rorschach.
He was on his meds.
We watched all Phase 1. We watched Iron Man, Incredible Hulk, Iron Man 2, Thor, Captain America, the First Avenger, and the Avengers all in one day.
Do you take bathroom breaks?
There's breaks.
All right.
A lot of snacks were consumed. a lot of beers were consumed. But we had a really good time doing that. And then we're going to be watching like the Phase 2 movies next week, so leading up to Ultron. But in the spirit of that, I posed a challenge to the Bat Squad. I wanted to take all the Marvel movies. There have been exactly 10 Marvel Studios films. And I was like, wouldn't it be great to have a top 10?
So you're, just so the listeners know, if they're even still listening, you're just talking about Marvel Studios movies starting with
starting
with Iron Man 1, which was 2007.
Yep, going to Guardians of the Galaxy, which was this past
summer. This excludes any Blade movies, any Spider-Man movies, and any X-Men movies.
Yeah, as Kevin said when he yelled at me in capital letters on texting, he's like, just Marvel Studios.
Well, because I'm tired of every time I see something, you're like, Spider-Man.
Because Spider-Man.
Well,
what is that? Helicopter?
Yeah. It's Nick Fury in the helicarrier. All right, so you want to do your top 10 list first?
We'll do like number 10, and then everybody gives their number 10.
Okay.
All right, so this is how we do it on like, because we do top 10s on a lot of other WDPN shows. We've just never done one here. Okay, so my number 10, and this is the one Marvel movie I don't like, Iron Man 3. Pure cheese, absolutely awful. If you want to hear my full feelings about why I hate this movie so much, watch the most recent, listen to the most recent episode of Geek Watchtower, which I believe is episode either 13 or 14, which, by the way, that's caught up to this. And you'll hear Chris Alley and I rip it apart. It's awful. The twist with the Mandarin was abysmal. Tony Stark is a douche for the entire thing. And there really is just... There's very little... The only redeeming factor of the film itself is the post-traumatic stress and anxiety disorder that he does. Because Robert Downey Jr. owns that. Like, he does a really good job with that.
Yeah, you barely see him in his outfit, too.
He's regular man.
Yeah.
I put Iron Man...
He fights with oven mitts.
Yeah, I put Iron Man 3 at number 8. What about you?
Give me your number
well,
10.
Well, I have to say, I never saw Thor 2, and I never saw Guardians of the Galaxy.
So those are your 10 and 9.
Yeah, 10 and 9, because it's not fair to judge them. I'm sure they're fine movies, but how about you for number 10?
Well, mine is Thor 1 and 2 for 10 and 9, because I'd never seen them either.
All right, so my number 9 was Iron Man 2.
I like that.
Iron Man 2, I mean, I like Iron Man 2. But just not, I like the other movies more.
Yeah.
Iron Man 2 was kind of a way, it was just kind of a setup for the Avengers. I watched it yesterday again. Mostly what Iron Man 2 suffers from.
Don Cheadle.
No, I like Don Cheadle. Mm. Very little action. You have that one really big action sequence at the end, and then you have the one in the middle with Whiplash, the
race car
track.
Yeah.
But my thing is also, like, he's not wearing armor. He gets hit with a car like 3 times. However, his leg's not broken.
Yeah, that was kind of weird.
The thing that really hurts this movie is Whiplash is not a good villain. He's very underdeveloped. Justin Hammer was pretty cool, but at the end of the day, you know, still very forgettable. This movie's big thing is that it gives us War Machine for the first time, and it also is the first appearance of Scarlett Johansson as Black Widow.
Yeah, that's true.
All right, so now we're down to number 8.
Let me give you my number 8, and then you guys give your number 8s. My number 8 is Thor the Dark World. I like it, but again, underdeveloped villain. I love Chris Eccleston, who plays Malekith the Accursed. But, you know, again, it's a good movie, but it's very forgettable. Loki's in it, and Loki saves the film. Anytime Loki is on screen, it's awesome. But anytime he's not on screen, the film kind of suffers for it, and you're like, when am I going to get to Loki again? Yeah. Okay, so you're number eight.
My number eight is Iron Man 3. Just all the points you mentioned before, to me it felt like a superhero version of Lethal Weapon.
Right, and how'd you feel about that Mandarin thing?
It's a waste of time. Yeah. Either introduce the Mandarin or don't. That was nonsense with Ben Kingsley.
Right, and my thing is don't hype up this movie as the villain's the Mandarin and get everybody excited and then be like, ah, screw you.
Yeah. You know who he could have played that? Ringo Starr would have been a good Mandarin, the way he played it all jokey and British.
Yeah.
Well, who's your number eight, Danny?
Same thing.
Iron Man 3. Yeah. Sucks.
Number seven, Kev, what do you got?
Right, number seven. My number seven is... Of course, this is going to shut down. My number seven is The Incredible Hulk.
The one with Ed Norton. Norton?
Yeah, now I love this movie. I think it's great. The only thing that hurts it in the long run is that it's kind of the bastard child of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, and that it's never really referenced or mentioned again.
Yeah, no, I agree with that.
He mentions that he broke Harlem in the Avengers. The last time I was in New York, I broke Harlem. And Ben Urich in Daredevil has a clip behind his desk. If you look, it's a little Easter egg, and it says, you know, like Hulk victorious in Harlem Brawl.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's cool.
There's one that says Hulk victorious in Harlem Brawl, and there's another one that says Battle for New York, Hundreds Die in Midtown Battle.
Do you think that they're going to stay with the new Hulk? What the heck's his name?
Ruffalo.
Yeah, they're going to stay with him.
He's in it to win it.
They just keep changing the Hulk.
No,
it's
Ruffalo's
getting kind of annoying.
No, Ruffalo's in it for the long run. Yeah, he's a full-fledged member of the Marvel Universe. Good. They got to give Hulk his own movie again.
Yeah.
Well, now that they can do it better with CGI.
Yeah.
I'll talk about Hulk later. My number seven is the first Thor. A decent movie. Chris Hemsworth is striking as the God of Thunder. But still, I can't put it any higher than seven.
My seven, I know Kevin's going to be upset about this, but it's Guardians of the Galaxy.
Okay.
I didn't really care for it. I thought it was flat. It was a fun movie, but it didn't feel like a Marvel-ish type of movie.
A friend of mine actually said that, like, you know, Marvel has shown us that fun but mediocre equals good.
Yeah.
Because that's how we describe Guardians of the Galaxy. I disagreed, but so I've heard that opinion before.
Yeah.
What's your number six?
My number six is the first Thor. I like it. Again, watched it yesterday. I thought Anthony Hopkins owned it as Odin. He just had this presence. This, like, this is the All-Father. Like, this is the God of Gods. And I liked the fish-out-of-water story with Thor on Earth. I didn't mind that he wasn't, you know, powered for most of the film, because you had that awesome sequence on Jotunheim in the beginning where him and all the other Asgardians are fighting the Frost Giants. And then you had when he wrecks the Destroyer, when he does all this, that, and the other thing. I thought it was a good movie, well done, great villain, good hero, and it's actually my favorite Marvel romance is Thor and Jane Foster.
Oh, that's so cute.
It's one of the only ones that I believed.
Well, Natalie Portman is adorable. My number six would be Hulk with Ed Norton, which was a million times better than Hulk with Eric Bana.
Oh, yes, it was.
And that wasn't even Eric Bana's fault. It was just a mess. We won't even go into
it
that
was Ang
Hulk.
It was Ang Lee's fault. He tried to make it like a comic book panel with like all like the transitions and whatnot.
And the
but
size
just,
of Hulk was
he's
so
way too
yeah,
big. He was
ridiculous.
A Jolly Green Giant.
Yeah, he was
but
too big.
But the Hulk with, what was that? Who was Tim Roth? Was Tim Roth the villain in the
yes, he played,
Ed Norton one?
Yeah, he played
the Abomination.
The Abomination.
Yeah, and I liked the fight scene with the Abomination.
Oh, it
was
great.
That was done well.
And you know, you got a sense of the more tender side of the Hulk as well. And I thought the guy that played General Ross owned it. That Iron Man cameo at the end, you know, can't beat that.
Yeah, it was a good movie, but it's still my number six. Who's yours, Dan?
Number six was also the Hulk.
Did you like that one?
I liked it. It was fun. I kind of don't remember a lot of it because I felt like it was so far ago. Like, I wouldn't sit there and watch it again. But I did enjoy it while I was...
Well,
Hulk,
but the other thing with this is I also really believed in the romance between Bruce and Betty in this movie, because I thought Liv Tyler was a great Betty Ross. But now the problem is, in the current Marvel Cinematic Universe movies, he doesn't even mention Betty. He's never looking at a picture of Betty or never like men. Now they're doing a love interest thing with him and Scarlet Witch.
Yeah.
But not Scarlet Witch.
They have
Black
to.
Widow.
Black Widow. Yeah.
They have to consolidate the characters.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Black Widow is going to have a romance with anyone. It should be either Captain America or the Winter Soldier.
Okay.
Or Daredevil.
Cool. I think they were kind of touching upon something with the Winter Soldier and her.
Who's
No, because her love interest is Bruce Banner now. You'll
know.
See. It's
who's your number five?
My number five is Captain America: The First Avenger. Mm. Of the Phase One movies, one of my absolute favorites. It really feels like a great superhero adventure film. Say what you will about Chris Evans' shrunken head on that skinny little body. I thought Hugo Weaving was tremendous as the Red Skull, but you could tell he didn't want to be doing the role. He never reprised it. He said he never will. He just, you know, didn't have a good time with it. I really liked the idea of setting it in World War II.
Yeah.
It was great as a backstory, and it was a great final fight sequence, and just really showed Captain America coming into his own.
I put Cap 1 much higher, so my number 5 is Iron Man 2, which you liked a little less than me. I thought Iron Man 2 was fine. Don Cheadle, probably, I mean, he's a fine actor in drama and these other type of movies, but he's not cut out to be a superhero, I feel. They need someone more, like the guy that's playing the Falcon now.
Yeah.
He does a great job as the Falcon.
You know what? Don Cheadle might have been a little small to be Rhodey.
Yes.
I always kind of pictured Rhodey as like a big dude.
Yeah, absolutely. You know? Yeah, I couldn't get past that.
You figure you have War Machine, you know, some big guy in the suit. You know?
I'm a big Mickey Rourke fan since the Pope of Greenwich Village. So to see Mickey Rourke all grizzled and old as Whiplash, that was really cool. So yeah, number 5.
It was a cool character, if a little underdeveloped. I do love Don Cheadle when he comes in the beginning, when the first time you see him is Rhodey, and Tony goes Rhodey, and he goes, "It's me. I'm here. Deal with it."
Right.
Tell people that were mad that they recast Terrence Howard. It's me. Yeah. I'm here. Deal with it.
Soap operas do that all the time. Who's your number 5?
Just for the record, me and Dave didn't like put our notes together and say that we're both like the same things, because I agree. Number 5 is Iron Man 2.
And number 4, Kev.
My number 4 is Guardians of the Galaxy. I thought it was a lot of fun. I thought it was thought it was a refreshing change of pace for the Marvel Universe, because now we're out in space. It's less grounded. You know, we're dealing with different aliens. We see Thanos for the first time.
You didn't like that love interest?
Him and Gamora?
Yeah. No, didn't really do anything.
Not really. I felt like it was just kind of like, hey, you're hot and green, and you're the first thing. You're the closest thing to me.
Yep.
So that's what Marvel Studios actually said going forward: no more origin stories and no more love stories.
Oh, good.
Because it's just tired. Because then also you run into the problem that you run into in Iron Man 3, where it's like, okay, the love story is over, but this girl is still hanging around. What are we going to do with her?
Yeah.
Just like in real life.
Yeah.
My number 4 is Avengers, which would have been much higher.
Wow, I'm surprised it's that low on your list.
It's
still top 5, but...
Yeah. No, Avengers, the first 2/3 of Avengers, and I have this problem with a lot of superhero movies, except The Phantom, starring Billy Zane.
Oh, my gosh.
Unique!
The Phantom again.
The Avengers is great up until that cataclysmic epic battle where they come out of the poop hole in the sky, and they're just pooping aliens down on us. And then I just checked out mentally.
And that's your age speaking here, because that is the most awesome epic fight scene ever.
Yeah, I thought it was
found
cool.
It to be unbelievable.
It was comic book-like.
I never go to New York City and see a giant sphincter in the clouds pooping down
aliens.
Well,
good. I'm glad.
I don't want to see
Wouldn't
that.
Wouldn't want to see
well,
that.
Well, who's your number 4, Danny?
Captain America, the first one.
All right.
First Avenger.
Yeah, I liked it a lot.
I liked it a lot, too. I mean, those Cap movies are just top-notch. Yeah.
What's surprising for me, because I'm not a huge Cap fan, but watching
Chris Evans owns it, man.
Yeah, he definitely does.
He gets this character. And you know what's funny? Everybody was like, oh, Chris Evans, he's the Human Torch. He can't be Captain America.
Yeah.
You don't even think of him about Human Torch. Exactly. You don't even think about Human Torch anymore.
Yep.
Number 3 is the first Iron Man, the one that started it all. I love this movie. I thought it was great. I thought Robert Downey Jr. This movie was make or break for Marvel Studios, because it was the first one out the gate.
And for Downey Jr.
Yeah, and for Downey Jr. Like he broke out the gate here, and he hit the ground running, and Marvel Studios took off like a shot because of it, because this movie is excellent. And a lot of that credit goes to Downey Jr., but it also goes to Jon Favreau, who directed it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Favreau has a way of inserting him. He's like the young Stan Lee.
Yeah,
he's always popping up and stuff.
Yeah, well, in number 2, Favreau gave himself much too much to do when he was involved in like the final fight scene and whatnot.
Right.
Iron Man 3 also, I feel suffered because it was a change of direction, because Favreau didn't direct it.
Yeah,
and now all of a sudden it was completely different. And
it felt different too.
Yeah, and it was just and also with 3, my big issue with 3, not to get back on 3, but if Tony Stark can have this surgery to remove the shrapnel from his chest, why didn't he do it in Iron Man 2 when the Palladium core was killing him?
Yeah.
Yep.
He goes through all this trouble in Iron Man 2, and then he gets like a same-day surgery in Iron Man 3 to just take it out. I'm like, well, what was Iron Man 2 about?
Maybe the writers didn't think about that.
Exactly.
But Kevin did. Well, my number 3 in our top 10 Marvel Studios is Captain America 1. I love Chris Evans as Captain America.
Yeah.
So it's a high mark there.
This might shock everyone. Number 3 is Avengers.
Okay.
Right?
Didn't make my... It made my top 3.
Yeah, those top 3 is a great
fight scene at the end, right?
No, because I like the poop on me. The sky poop, whatever the heck you call it. I think it was an all-around great movie.
Sphincter just in the sky.
The fact of seeing all the characters together, that just made me very excited.
You don't want to make that the episode title, Sphincter in the Sky?
No. Maybe.
Now he's thinking about it.
Okay, so my number two.
Speaking of number two, we're on
number two, right? Yes. My number two is the Avengers.
Wow,
not okay. My number one. I mean, I love it, but I will say we did a on Watchtower 2 weeks ago. We watched the Avengers together and like did a live review of it, like commenting. You could watch along; it's like a commentary track. But I said during that is I feel like it's not a great film. I think a lot of its success comes from the cool factor of seeing them all together.
The anticipation.
Yes, yeah. And seeing them all fight, like seeing Iron Man and Thor go at it, seeing Thor and Hulk go at it.
Yeah.
It's just really, really cool. Loki as the villain was a great move because in the comics, Loki was the first villain the Avengers ever fought. And you were also able to blend in the Ultimate Universe with the Chitauri and then the Thanos reveal at the end, just top notch.
Yeah, it was great.
What I feel too, and you mentioned it, what directors need to remember is in these big epic blockbusters, sometimes it's the little things that are most memorable. The takeaway I got from Avengers 1 was that great scene where Loki is in Thor's face taunting him, in Hulk's face,
mm-hmm.
and Hulk just bashes him around.
That is everybody's favorite scene.
It's just a great moment, you know?
Puny God.
I hope they have something like that in the next one, like something fun like that.
Yeah. My number two in our top 10 was Captain America number 2, which would have...
The Winter Soldier.
Yes, it probably would have been number 1, except that final total super action third act, which I can't...
Do you just not want there to be action in superhero movies?
Action. Like, plain and simple.
What do you want to happen in a comic book movie? Do you want them to like sit around talking and talk things out?
No, I want something a little more plausible, but when I saw at the...
It's a comic book movie. How many comic books have you read in your life?
But the thing is, when Captain America looks down and sees those three memory cards on the tray, and he's got to stick those three memory cards into the... three different shield helicarriers. I'm like, check, please. I'm out of here.
That was a little cheesy. It was.
And the best line was delivered by Robert Redford, who back in the day you'd never see Robert Redford anywhere near a superhero movie. But
he was great in this film.
There's grizzled old sun-damaged Robert Redford, and he steals Denny's catchphrase. I almost fell off the sofa.
Oh, he says, what a waste?
Explosions everywhere, and they zoom in on Robert Redford. He turns to the camera and he goes, what a waste.
Yeah. That was great.
I was the only one in theaters laughing
hysterical.
He spoiled alert at that. Me too. He goes, Robert Redford says my catchphrase.
All right, you're number two.
He sure is. Captain 2. Yep.
Captain America and Winter Soldier.
Yep.
Okay.
And now drum roll, please. Wait, we'll insert the noise later. Drum roll.
My number one is Captain America and Winter Soldier.
Okay, fine.
I thought it was just the most exciting movie from beginning to end. I was never bored at any point in time. Never thought about getting up for a snack. Never thought about, like, I need to use the bathroom. Like, never thought about anything. It was just, this movie had me engaged in the beginning. It was a game changer because it eliminates S.H.I.E.L.D. You know, it deals with Hydra. I also love how, like, the Winter Soldier was the villain of the piece, but, like, he wasn't really the villain. Like, Hydra was the villain.
Yeah, exactly.
I very much expected Robert Redford to end up being the Red Skull by the end of it, but he wasn't.
And Sam Jackson's character has a great storyline in
Winter Soldier. Oh, that was awesome.
No one's expecting him to get riddled with bullets.
We got to see Fury, like, a whole vulnerable Fury fight scene. And I like how Cap has got, like, his own little Avengers team now, because you got Cap, you got Black Widow. Black Widow was better in this film than she was in... Because this is just as much Scarlett Johansson's film as it is Chris Evans' film.
Yeah,
because they're in it about equally. You got more of the Captain America Man in a Time stuff. I really love the scene with him and old Peggy Carter.
Yeah.
Oh, that was such an upsetting scene. Nice. But, I mean, you know, you got the reveal of Bucky as Winter Soldier without it being too, like, weepy, cry-y, Spider-Man-y, you know?
Yeah, it was good. And Evans, the way he portrays Captain America... He's very square, and that's what Captain America needs to be. We don't need another smart aleck superhero.
Right.
And he's the foundation for everything else.
And that's why he's the leader of the Avengers now in Ultron.
Which I see Tony Stark is none too happy about.
Yes.
Well, my number one is Iron Man 1, because that's the Babe Ruth, that's the Honus Wagner, the Ty Cobb. That had to be something special to kick off this whole era. And I think it's wonderful. Downey Jr. now steps back and says, well, when I said that I was perfect because that's me, Tony Stark is me, he's kind of step. You saw? Did you see that interview?
I was just about to bring that up where he walked out of that interview.
That was great.
Oh, I love that.
Well, because you're like you're here to promote a fun movie. Why are you talking about when the guy was in jail?
The interviewer was such a dick.
Yeah, he was.
And Downey Jr. handled it so well. He gave the guy a million times to get back on
track. Yeah, no, he gave him a million opportunities to get back on track, and the guy kept grilling him about his personal life until finally he was just like, yeah, I'm going to leave because this is getting too Diane Sawyer-y and you're kind of a schmuck.
I thought he said dinosaur.
No, he said it's getting too Diane Sawyer-y.
Yeah.
This is getting a little too Diane Sawyer, and you're kind of a schmuck.
I thought he meant dinosaur like you're talking about the ancient past.
No. Yeah. He was trying to have a Diane Sawyer interview with him.
No, Iron Man 1, phenomenal. One of the few times my movie-going experiences where I walked out of the theater, I'm like, that was freaking awesome.
No, you know, the only thing that kept it from being higher on my list was the fact that Ironmonger was so underdeveloped.
But most people don't even know that was Jeff Bridges. He didn't know.
I didn't even know
Jeff Bridges.
Yeah. Because he's all bald and just has the beard. It didn't really look like him. I didn't think about it.
I thought Jeff Bridges was great, but
Ironmonger is basically a prototype for a Hulkbuster type thing. Yeah. So they didn't have to go too crazy.
Yeah. Denny, I'm assuming the same thing for you.
Same exact thing. I'm a huge Iron Man fan, and to see that, I actually saw it in the theaters about
six
times.
He's just got
times.
Money.
Shut up. I saw it in the theaters about six times, and every time I was just wowed by it.
Batman's at least got ninja training.
Seeing how great it was on the movie and like how they just, it was perfect. I absolutely loved it. But I do agree with the little Ironmonger area, but I didn't mind that. Because
but Obadiah Stane was well-developed, I thought. I liked him. I mean, he was a little too like mustache twirly for me at certain points in time. But I think, but as a movie, it just worked really well. And who does not get a kick out of watching Tony Stark blowing up terrorists in the Middle East? I just watched it last night and I was cheering again.
Well, that whole thing, I like, you know, I got so excited like seeing him going, like the Iron Man walks out.
Oh,
you know,
they did the Mark. That was brilliant how they included the Mark One, the first ever Iron Man armor.
That's my favorite sequence in the movie. It shows the kind of actor Downey Jr. Because don't forget, Downey Jr. was not A-list at that point.
No,
he was struggling,
far from it.
Working his way back up from basically career suicide a decade earlier. And now it's like he had to hit a home run and he hit a grand slam. But that was a beautiful sequence where the guy in the cave helps him.
Jensen, yeah.
And then he dies. It just
Well, you know, when he was cast, all the fanboys were like, Robert Downey Jr., what the hell? And Jon Favreau was like, trust me. Yeah. Just trust. Which is why, you know what, when I hear about casting, so like when I heard about Ben Affleck as Batman, stuff like that, I never jump down its throat because I'm like, well, there's something that the director saw that we don't see yet.
Yeah.
Because everybody freaked out about Downey Jr., everybody freaked out about Heath Ledger being the Joker.
And George Clooney. he walked into that one.
Well, no, because that
bat nipples.
At a certain point in time when they picked Joel Schumacher to direct these films, that was the issue. It wasn't even like, you know.
Yeah. So. I hear he's going to direct the new Bobby Drake Iceman movie.
Yeah, I'm sure he will. Ice nipples. All right, guys. So this is probably one of our longest episodes ever, but you guys ready to head out?
Yeah.
Yep.
There are certain things I'd like you to edit out later. But I do want to say one more thing. Since this is the ultimate pop culture podcast out there currently, folks, check out the new music video from David Hasselhoff.
Okay.
Right, Denny? You saw it. Dan.
What?
Didn't you like it?
Yeah, it was cool.
What's it called?
Fist of Fury or something? I don't remember.
Yeah, it's amazing. If you remember the 80s or even if you don't remember the
80s.
Remember how
he said something about cutting something out? I think this is part of it.
Folks, that's going to do it for Bat Squad Radio this week. I want to thank you guys so much for joining us again. We are very much looking forward to Avengers Age of Ultron. Not sure why we got off on a David Hasselhoff tangent at the end of this, but, you know, some of our co-hosts are not as refined as others. Folks, please follow us on social media. You can find the White Dragon Podcast Network on Facebook at facebook.com/WD Podcast Network or follow us on Twitter at White Dragon PN. Please also make sure to join our Facebook discussion group, facebook.com/group/Bat Squad Radio, where you can always chat with us. You know, tell us what you want to see on the show, yada, yada, yada. And also please check out the Bat Squad, the Newsly Bat Squad YouTube channel, youtube.com/NJBatSquad. Without any further ado, Dave, any closing words?
Yes. Don't hassle the hawk.
Denny, any closing words?
No.
Okay, folks, enjoy Avengers Age of Ultron. We'll be back next time, same Bat Squad time, same Bat Squad channel.
This has been a production of the White Dragon Podcast Network. For information on this as well as our other great podcasts, check us out on Facebook at facebook.com/WD Podcast Network, email us at WDPodcastNetwork@gmail.com, and follow us on Twitter at WhiteDragonPN.